It is said that life is an adventure, and some people love to be on that lifelong exhilarating trip. In today's digital age, with a career in tech presenting very promising opportunities, leaving tech raises many questions. Why would one leave the tech space to create travel experiences for people in Africa? In today's episode, we dive into the captivating story of Wesley Ablodepe, affectionately called Fish, a techie who traded his keyboard for a compass and is now a household name when it comes to travel in Ghana and Africa. Enjoy today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Big Spark. Big Spark is the UK's fastest growing data solutions consultancy, translating your business needs into data architecture, strategy, and engineering. Together with their technical partners, they focus on swift and efficient business value delivery. Taking an innovative approach to every challenge, Big Spark is an agile team of over 100 world-class engineers and data scientists pushing the boundaries of what can be achieved with AI, data, software, cloud, and machine learning. To find out how Big Spark can ignite your data solution, visit us at www.bigspark.dev. Big Spark, igniting change through engineering. Hello there, and welcome to the Tech Stuff Podcast, where we navigate today's tech wave one electrifying conversation at a time. I am your host, Raymond Cluche, and today I have an old friend, a classmate, who has taken a whole different turn in his career as compared to what I thought he was going to do after school. But yeah, today I have Fish, as he's affectionately called, to come and, you know, expound a little bit about, you know, his transition from tech into becoming a travel experience designer, he calls it. So without further ado, I'll let Fish, you know, introduce himself, and then we can delve into today's conversation. So thank you so much for coming, Fish, and over to you.
Okay. Hello, world, and hi, Raymond. My name is Fish, like you said, but it needs to be spelled. So it's Fish, P-H-I-S-H. So that people don't think is there no more fish in water or, you know, in the ocean. Yeah. So, yeah, that's me.
Okay. Is that all you just want to give to us? Or you want to leave the, like, the big stuff in, like, later in the conversation?
Yeah. I'm not one that likes to talk about myself that much. And okay, I'm hoping that we'll get to enter all the corners, and you'll be able to bring out all the details about me in the conversation. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So let's first start off from your name. I know your official name is not Fish. So what is your official name?
Okay. So this question. Okay. My official name, is Edinam Wesley Kweku Ablodepe.
Right.
Yeah. Quite.
And
long.
Where does a fish come from?
Okay, this is like the third time in my life I'm sharing this story. So,
So
my first name is Edinam. Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to this and you are an Ewe and you are also an Ashanti and you speak Cree, you will know that, you know, as an Ewe, Edinam means something else.
Right.
And Edinam means, in the Ewe language, it means I'm lucky. So my parents called me Edinam because,
they were quite lucky.
I brought them a lot of luck. Right. And but then again, in Cree, nam means fish. Yeah, I think nam means fish, like the edible fish.
Right.
So when I was in primary school, my mates used to tease me, calling me Eddie Fish, Eddie Meat. Like, they literally just, anything that the nam meant. So fish, meat. So they used to tease me, Eddie Fish, Eddie Meat, and I never liked it. It was always annoying. But I couldn't get them to stop. So someone just told me that, you know, when people are teasing you and trying to, like, make fun of you, and you accept it, you embrace it, right? They see that it's no longer provoking you. So they don't see the fun in it anymore. So I had to just, like, embrace it. And whenever they call me Eddie Fish, I responded. So it became like a nickname. Oh. And then, I mean, so it became a nickname, Eddie Fish, with the spelling of normal fish. And as I went on to JHS, and I remember vividly, like, in high school, you know, when you go to high school in Ghana, especially the boarding house, there are a lot of nicknames, and even going to a boys' school makes it worse. You need to have a nickname because they can't be calling you Eddie now or Wesley. I don't know. They have a way they go about it. So I decided to just add the drop of the Eddie from the fish, from the Eddie fish, and then maintain the fish. And I realized that keeping it as F-I-S-H didn't sound cool. So I had to change the F to P-H and then use that as my nickname in senior high school. That is fish. Yeah, so that's where fish came from. And it's now like my actual name. There are people who listen to this podcast and then hear the story for the first time because it's not a story that I like to share. So there are people who actually think my real name is Fish until they probably see a document from me or something and then they see that, oh, this guy is called Eddie Nam Wesley. Cool. Like, yeah. So that's about it.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about your interest or your decision to, you know, come and retake. So for those of you who are listening, Fish and I went to the same university, we were in the same class, we were very much friends, and we read IT at the University of Ghana. And I'm just wondering, like, how did you end up in University of Ghana reading IT?
I feel like I have a lot of stories. I feel like everything that I've done in this life has like a long background story.
Go for it.
But I was never supposed to study IT in school. And I remember very well when we were freshmen, right? When I think the first semester, almost everyone in our class had their own story of, oh, I wasn't supposed to be in this class. I didn't choose IT and all of that. Right. Everyone had their share of that story. That was also because we were the first batch for that program. So, but I, for one, I chose a course. I chose the program. I think that it was just like my fourth, I think my last choice also. So all my life, before I went to senior high school, I went to Bishop Herman. So shout out to any Bobu listening to this podcast, wherever you are. I went to Bishop Herman College in Kwando. But before I went to the school, when I was in JHS, I wanted to be an accountant. So I remember my favorite teacher in JHS, Mrs. Thompson, wherever you are right now. Thank you so much. She advised me that Bishop Herman was a good school to go to if I really wanted to become an accountant and get admitted to a top university in Ghana because their students were very good and they learn a lot. So she made me choose Bishop Herman. And that wasn't the school I wanted to go to. But I mean, I took her advice and I got admitted to Bishop Herman to study business. And so that was perfect for me. I felt like my dreams were coming true. But my 3 years in Bishop Herman weren't the best, especially in terms of teaching. We didn't have the best, well, we used to have the best accounting teacher allocated to us, but my class was full of, I won't say arrogance, but we felt like we knew too much.
Right.
And we felt like the teacher that we didn't know. So I remember one time they did an assessment, I think at the end of Form 1, and so they do an anonymous kind of assessment, but they know the class that the survey belongs to.
Right.
So it turned out that my class reviewed our accounting teacher poorly. So when we were going to Form 2, they changed him. And he was disappointed. I remember he came to our class to vent and all of that. That why did we do that to him? Do we know who he is? And all of that. So now they took this so-called best accounting teacher from us and brought in someone. And that person was worse. He was even a sort of like a new teacher, a fresh teacher, because we didn't have a lot of accounting teachers in the school. So my love for accounting in Form 1 was up there. It was good. I mean, I didn't know much about accounting. But after they took this teacher from us that my class said they didn't like, and the new teacher that they brought to us, almost half of the class began like hating accounting.
Right.
So I was one of those people. I didn't like accounting anymore. I was missing classes. I'll be in my dorm sleeping or just playing games on my mobile phone and all of that. So I realized that my dreams of becoming an accountant were beginning to go away, were beginning to fade away. Right. And the final straw was when we were writing our WASI, I realized that the paper, the accounting paper was my worst paper. Like, I remember, and not to brag, but I was one of the best students in Bishop Herman for my year group. And so for me to say the accounting paper was bad just lets you know how it was. And also, I was part of the three-year group. So already, we didn't have a lot of time to go through the entire syllabus. And we didn't have a good teacher. So that's two things here. So we, in terms of comparing us to the 4-year batch, they had like a more advantage. And so I just thought the paper was so bad. And I remember when I finished, I got on the phone with my dad and I told him that, hey, Dad, I know we both agree that I'll become a chartered accountant. Like after high school, I'll enroll for ACC and all of that. But I don't think I can do that anymore. He asked me why. And I said, the paper I just wrote was the worst. And when my grades come out and that one is bad and it will be bad, just don't be surprised. But also letting you know that I can't do the chartered accountant accounting anymore. Yeah. And he was very disappointed, and we're both lost, because I think at the time, before WASI or during WASI, my mates were buying like forms for university, applying, all of that. But because I wanted to become a chartered accountant and enroll in ACCA, there wasn't the need for me to go to university. Or my dad and I agreed that I wasn't going to go to university. I could just sign up for any private institution and then enroll in the ACCA program. And so I think time had gone by and we didn't know what to do. And he wasn't taking that new update like lightly at all. He still wanted me to become a chartered accountant, but I told him that no, I wasn't going to do it anymore. So I came home from school, and one day I was there and an uncle of mine reached out. He's like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, what's next after school? And I said, oh, I don't know. But this is the plan my dad and I had. And now I have gone to change it. And my dad is no longer kind of like giving me attention. Mm. And my uncle was like, okay, you know what? You just come for money. Go and buy Legon forms, because he went to Legon as well. Just go and buy Legon forms and apply and let's see what happens. Let's maybe by the time your results are in and maybe you get admitted, your dad might change his plans. But so I bought the forms and I remember I didn't know what to choose. I didn't know the programs to choose because it wasn't my plan to go to University of Ghana. So I didn't know if I should choose maybe admin or this or that or that. And now I read through like the available courses at Legon. And I think business administration was the one that caught my attention because I did business in high school. So doing administration in uni was like a good thing to continue with. But I discussed with my dad and he said, no, if I apply and I choose business administration and I get admitted, he won't pay my fees. He said it wasn't worth going to university to study business administration. Guys, like, I'm sorry to anyone who studied business administration, but my dad said he wasn't going to pay. And I was like, so what do I do? So I reached out to a friend who said, I think you are good with computers and you've always been good with computers from primary school, JHS. Right. So why don't you choose something computer related? And at the time, that was in 2013, she felt like programming and this like IT skills will be in high demand. So let me go right. for it. But if you remember the story, like I've been sharing for the past few minutes, IT wasn't in my thing. It was business. And so I just chose, I think I chose computer science because I did e-maths. So I felt I had some kind of like leverage. So I chose computer science and I think I chose BSc psychology, statistics, and I think the last one was IT. I was just filling the boxes because I think I bought the form a few days to deadline and I had just one day to submit them. So I was just in a hurry. So I submitted them. And I told my uncle who gave me the money to buy the forms that these are the courses I choose. He was like, okay, cool. And so the results came out and I did great for my WASI. And even the accounting that I thought was going to be so bad, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I think my EMAS was the worst rather. EMAS I was so confident in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And EMAS was actually what pushed me to choose computer science. I thought I would get an A, but I didn't get an A. So because I didn't perform so well in EMAS, as a business student, my chances of getting computer science were very like small. So I think they ended up giving me IT. And they gave me IT, I think, because it was because we were the first batch and they needed people to fill that class. Okay. And also because I didn't do well in my EMATs, I didn't stand a chance of getting computer science or BSc psychology or statistics. So I think the IT was perfect for me. And I was quite happy about it because it was like, I mean, when we were in school, we always saw IT like a lighter version of computer science. I'm sure you would agree. Like, it was like computer science minus all the headache, all the maths and physics and all of that. Right. So I was actually happy to be in that class. And I think in the beginning it was great. So that's how I quickly transitioned from business to tech.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how I ended up in the world of IT in University of Ghana.
Right, right. So let's stay there a little bit. You know, yes, we were in Legon for 4 years, relatively, you know, computer science were doing more statistics and math than we did, you know. But then we also had a few, you know, issues that we had to also face with all these certifications whatsoever. I just want to know from your perspective, how was your 4 years in University of Ghana studying tech or studying IT, information technology for that matter?
It was a roller coaster. I feel like, I feel like that's probably the only roller coaster that I've had in my life, because we were the first batch, and I'll keep repeating this: we were the first batch. Like that was like that's facts. There wasn't any proper structure to how they were handling us, and I felt like they were just experimenting with us. So we didn't have the best of lecturers, right. And this lecturer will come today. The next semester is that person and all of that. And there were a lot of TAs handling the programs. I remember there was one particular semester in the 4 years that our HOD was the one in charge of all the 6 courses that we had. There was no way one human being was going to be in charge of all those courses. So, I mean, his name was on paper as the lecturer in charge, but it was different TAs, like teaching assistants that were handling the course.
Right.
So I just felt like we weren't exposed to like the like good lecturers. So the learning experience wasn't the best. And we didn't have a lot of resources. Like, we didn't have a proper lab. I think it was getting to final year that they renovated our IBM lab. Yeah, so we didn't have a proper lab. And we didn't even have, like, great classrooms because we're the first batch. So we were sharing classrooms with other departments and all of that, moving up and down. So my experience, if I were to rate it, I would say 5 out of 10, yeah. It's 50-50, yeah. I'll be nice. I'll be
I
nice
feel to say, you. Yeah, I 5 feel out you. Of 10, yeah. I understand. But IT as a whole, you know, what would you say, you know, you really enjoyed, you know, like learning? What did you enjoy or what was your major takeaway from those 4 years in terms of technical skills?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I feel like, you know what, let me just chip this in. I think God is amazing. I think that sometimes we think we find ourselves at the wrong places, but he put us there for a reason.
Right.
And if you are just patient, you realize that you're actually on the track that God wants you to be. And everything just works out perfectly. So if you remember that story, I studied business in high school and I came to university and I was in the IT class. But I'm sure you'd agree with me that our IT was a fusion of computing and business. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there was a semester we did accounting.
Accounting, we
did economics,
micro.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So anytime I think school started and then we got access to like the course like layout for the semester and I saw these business courses, I was always excited. I was like, yay, I did this in high school, so I'll have like an upper hand in class and all of that. So I think it was a mixture of IT and business, and that was very good for me. So I felt like I was still having my business lessons in there and combining that with IT. So the IT and business went like hand in hand, and I can see how that played a huge role in where I am today. You know, and those business courses or classes that we had were some of my best moments in Legon.
That's interesting. After Legon, what did you use your tech skills for?
I think the straight answer is I didn't use my tech skills for anything.
All right.
Because
school, you didn't do any national service or anything where you had to do something.
No.
It's called Packet Tracer or anything.
No. Packet Tracer, I was always seeing stars. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Listen, networking is not very much my forte, so I don't know much about that.
Yeah, I think I was a networking major. I think you were in something, I think cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think, no, I wasn't in cybersecurity. I was in programming and databases.
Okay, sure, great. Yeah, good for you. So I was a networking and telecommunication like major, because I wanted to become a network engineer. So I remember all the internships that every long vacation, I took an internship. And just to keep myself busy and learn like some industry skills and all of that. I think you and I did we do an internship together at UGCS?
No, I never went to UGCS.
Okay, sure. I think it's someone. So it was I wanted to become a networking engineer. But along the way, I think in my final year was when I gave up on IT. Like, in general, I gave up on school. I gave up on IT. I won't say I had some midlife crisis, but I'm sure you were there. You remember, like, my personal issues in school as well. But I gave up on IT, and I found a new love. So one thing about my family is that I'm born into, like, a family of creatives.
Mm.
My dad is, like, a 360, like, artist. Like, he does so many, he does many forms of art.
Mm.
So I also identify as a creative, right? And I've always loved drawing, taking pictures. Thanks to my dad, he always, like, forced me to, like, take pictures for him. He always give me his camera to take pictures of family events.
Right.
So I think in final year, I found my love for photography.
Mm.
And I was doing some businesses in school and all of that. I remember I did a number of businesses and I got money to buy a laptop.
Okay.
In my final year. And then I sold that laptop and I think I got a phone. I'm kind of forgetting the details of this story, but what I remember was that I had a BlackBerry phone,
all right,
and I loved taking pictures with a BlackBerry so much. And I took some friends of mine in my residential hall, Mensa Sabah. They had a baseball game and I captured it on my phone and they liked the pictures so much.
Mm.
And I just felt like, you know what, this photography thing is my thing.
Mm.
And this is the right moment for me to pivot into that.
Mm.
So I just forgot about school. I mean, I was just staying on campus. I wasn't focusing on lectures anymore. And although that was in my final year, I was focusing on something else. Mm-hmm. I remember my final year project, I even gave up on it. Mm-hmm. I was struggling. Mm-hmm. And I was working on computerizing the birth and death registry.
Right.
I gave up on my final year project. And it was one particular TA, wherever she is, Sedinam, thank you so much.
Mm.
She held me and she took my case very personal, that she was going to see to it that I submit my project work. I do my presentation and I graduate that year. And so that's what actually helped me. But, like, back to the story, I gave up on IT in final year. And although I submitted my project and I graduated despite all the challenges that we had with our grades and all of that.
Right.
My last year in school, my last semester in school, was the last time I did something with IT seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So my photography career started in my final year.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished, I had a professional camera. I was in photography full time. Like, mm-hmm. I was getting, like, paid, like, big money. I thought I was, like, a big boy. And so I didn't do my national service like mm-hmm. my mates
mm-hmm.
because I was already doing photography and photography events. I was an event photographer and I could be called for an event on a weekday, and I didn't see how I could manage that with my national service. And I think I also applied for national service, but I got posting to a school somewhere in the Volta region to be a teacher. So, and I couldn't change it, so I just decided not to do national service mm-hmm. at all and focus on my photography. So that 1 year after school, no tech, no service, I was just doing photography. But when my mates finished with their NSS, I think I was still staying with my mom, and she was giving me a lot of pressure at home that I need to do this service, NSS, and just bring her the certificate. She needs a certificate, that's all.
All right.
But I can't, no matter the money that I think I'm making from photography, I don't know what will happen to me in the future.
Mm.
So let me just do the service for her. So I remember after my mates were done with their service, I asked of their experience and their organizations, which of them were good to them and all of that, so that I would know where to do my service.
Right.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I decided to do my national service finally, and I got placed. I think I was at the National Identification Authority, NIA, at Shashi. Yes. And because I had no love for tech anymore, and NIA at the time, they were registering people for Ghana Card. So it was a place that was heavily relying on IT. I think our former HOD was even there. She was the head of IT also.
Oh, wow.
So, Matilda, yeah, she was there. But I wasn't in the IT department, and I thank God that they didn't put me in the IT department, although I studied IT in school. I was in the facilities department.
All right.
So I was a direct assistant to the assistant manager I was an assistant to the facilities manager at the time.
Right.
I was helping him with the day-to-day activities and all of that. I was far from IT, although our office was just, like, next door to the tech people. But because I had no love for it, I didn't want to I didn't want to find myself doing anything with the tech people in NIA. So I finished my NSS, although I had some challenges with that. Yeah, I did that in 1 year and I went back to my photography full-time. And then along the way, I found myself starting a travel business. Yeah. So I haven't done anything with tech since I left school.
That's like you just abandoned the tech ladder. Like, you know what? Yeah, I'm done. I got my degree.
We are done. To go. Yeah. We had a big time divorce.
I like that. So amongst many things, you know, you are a photographer. And I think at the time when you started photography was, you know, that era where, you know, studio photography was coming back like in vogue. Like people wanted, you know, that very quality. I don't know, is it DLS or DLR camera?
DSLR.
DSLR, exactly. Yeah. Those cameras, like those top-notch stuff. Because I think about the same time to one friend of mine, actually, who came here this weekend, Asada, also started about the same time, level 100. I think you started later. But it was that era where, you know, a lot of photographers came to the scene and everything. And everyone wanted a pro picture. And everyone also wanted to become a photographer. So whenever you see a photographer, you hold the camera and you take a few shots, then you feel like, you know, you are the next big thing. You get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the way you started off, I think you were doing very well, quite decently. Then all of a sudden I see that you are into travel and I'm like, what's up with Fish? Like, how did he get into this area? If you can expand a little bit, like, would you say your photography led you into travel or traveled, you know, just, you know, like popped up like one day or you slept and you had an epiphany and you just, you know, okay, maybe this is my new thing.
Yeah. So before I answer that, hi to Asida. I think Asida was an engineering student, correct?
Yes. Asida, yeah. He's currently in the UK, also working as a tech lead. Also, you know him. That's great. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the world is so small. It's very mind-blowing. Asida was one of the few people that I was looking for it when I started photography. I used to follow his page on Instagram. And so, yeah, like, I really like his pictures. And I was so happy when I found out that he was in Legon. And I think we met a few times in Sabah Hall. Like, he came there to have, like, lunch in our canteen. Right, so yeah. We used to have, like, a chit-chat. Yeah. And also, I had this shipping business in school, and he was one of my clients. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I think Asida and I, yeah. Yeah, so Asida is one guy that I never forget. And so how I got into travel, and it was just chance. Yeah, I didn't plan it. And I wouldn't say my tech background led me there or my business, but I think it was just social media. That was, yeah, I think I would give it to social media.
Right.
I think, yeah, the idea came from a tweet that I made. So first of all, I mean, I've been traveling. I used to be a member of the Rotaract Club. And Rotaract Club is a sub club of Rotary International.
Okay.
But it's for younger people. So we used to do projects around Ghana. And so we, like, these projects involved a lot of traveling. So I would say that's where my passion for traveling started from. And yeah, we used to take trips to other West African countries as well for conferences.
Mm.
I remember I did a 3-day road trip to Niger and back. So I think at one point, yeah, after that Niger trip, right, I just was so eager to travel to other African countries. So there's this thing that people do on Twitter where they tweet into existence, right, saying something that they want to see happen in their lives. And then when it happens, they come back, give an update, and everyone is so excited for them, and they cheer them on and love that. It's always a beautiful thing. So I think also people usually do that at the end of the year, getting to the end of the year, that, oh, next year I want to do this, I want to do that. So I think for me to around 1 December, I also made a tweet that, oh, next year I'm traveling to 3 African countries. No, at the time I hadn't been to all the regions in Ghana. So I said, oh, next year I'm going to travel to, I'll make sure I go to all the 10 regions in Ghana. I think at the time we still had 10 regions.
Right.
And yeah, so I said I was going to go to all the 10 regions in Ghana and do 3 African countries. And about 20 people liked that tweet and retweeted. And for me, I felt like that was a big deal. 20 people, imagine 20 people coming to your door right now and saying hi to you.
Right.
Like, or say, hey, Raymond, like, like thumbs up on this podcast. 20 people, your doors, they're like, that's big.
Listen, even before you go, just a little stats I have. Like, one day I checked my stats and I was like, wow, I just started this like a month ago. Like, why are these many people listening and giving this like this amount of feedback? So, yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah. People like to support good stuff. So. And so I just felt like that engagement was like a boost. I felt like, oh, there are other people who want to do this thing that I want to do. So why not start a group? It wasn't a business. I think I didn't think of it as a business. I just thought of creating like a group. So I shared the idea with a friend and then we started like a business out of it.
Right.
Yeah, it became a business eventually. So that was how I got into travel. So we're doing trips around Ghana and that's how I got into travel, yeah.
All right, okay. So I know you were, so like you said, you were doing your travel stuff with your friend for some time. Then I cannot really remember the name of the company at the time, but then I just remember all of a sudden I see Move Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see Move Africa and I'm like, okay, what is it? Like, what is Move? Because I think like a bit of a vibe came like we move. Of a sort, right? Like, yeah. Then I was like, okay, what is Move? I didn't really understand what it meant though. But I was like, okay, what is Move Africa? And then I knew that, okay, it was associated with you. If you could expand a little bit about, you know, Move Africa, like, you know, first off, why the name Move Africa? And then what you guys do?
Okay. So when I got into travel, or when I started the travel business, like I said, I started with a friend because I shared the idea with a friend. So we had one business that I think lasted for 2 years, or I was in there for 2 years, and I had to leave because of some issues.
Right.
And so I started Move Africa after dealing with those issues because, I mean, I totally gave up on travel business, like the business of travel. I gave up on entrepreneurship in general. So I remember, I'm sure all these things are on Twitter. I was looking for a 9-to-5. And it wasn't easy at all, Raymond. Like, it wasn't easy. Yes, I was looking for a 9-to-5 and I was so frustrated that I had to put it on Twitter that, hey, please, this is my background. I'm looking for a corporate job. So if you have any help,
was it in tech? Out. Were you looking for something in tech, potentially?
Raymond, I just wanted a job. I just wanted income every month. What is tech? No, like I said, I left tech in uni. So I think my skills, I didn't have any tech skills. Right. I probably had like the theory in mind.
Right.
So I was applying for jobs. Like, I think I applied to more than 100 jobs. And it wasn't easy. And I got a couple of interviews because my CV was always amazing. Also because like I was a founder of like a business and the things that I had done. But whenever I went for interviews, I realized that the offers that they were mentioning weren't good. The monies that they wanted to pay weren't good. So I always wanted to move on to the next one. And I realized that nothing good was coming. Like I wasn't getting any better offer. So I just had to settle for one that I thought was good because I was going to be the team assistant of a musician in Ghana. Mm. And this musician is like quite international. I won't mention the name though.
That's fine. No worries.
So I was employed as the team assistant of one of like Ghana's best musicians here. And that lasted for just 3 weeks. So I got employed for just 3 weeks and I wasn't happy in that job. I wasn't happy at all. And my boss could tell that I wasn't happy and she let go. Like, she let me go. She said she likes to support the youth and she wouldn't like to see me being sad whenever I came to the office. And she could tell that there's something that I really want to do. There's something that is in me that I'm passionate about, but it is not being in her office and helping them with this business. So this is my salary. Bear in mind, I said, is that 3 weeks? I lasted there for 3 weeks. She was like, you take your salary, go home, think about what you want to do in life and come to me. Whatever it is, I'll support you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But before I got that job, I think I already had an idea for Move. Yeah, in mind. Mm. I already had the idea for Move. I was speaking to a friend to design like my logo and all of that. And so as soon as I left that job, I just accelerated with Move. I just started Move. I launched it. We had one trip. It was a rock climbing experience and it was sold out. I was expecting about 10 people. I think I had 13 or so. So I felt like, I mean, yeah, I got more than I expected. It was amazing. I mean, and I still had a camera at that time. So my photography skills were still there. I had my gear. So I took beautiful pictures. And when I came to Twitter to announce that, hey, this is the new thing that I'm doing. This is my new travel company. The support was very amazing. People were really excited about that because they thought when I left the previous company, like that was it all for me. But people really supported me and we just kept going from there. So this was in March 2021. So yeah, from then to now, it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years and we've done 181 trips since March, since 13th March 2021. Yeah, wow. 181 trips. We're about to go on the 181
trips.
Yeah.
Wow.
181 trips. Mad. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, we're doing the 182nd one this weekend. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Listen, when I just saw the way Move Africa just became like a brand on its own, I was like, yo, I know a celebrity. Like, yo, do you know I know a celebrity? Because I know Fish. Like, for those of you who are listening, I got him a Bible and he even left the Bible on campus. I asked him recently and he said he cannot find where the Bible is. But that, like, that was the level of, you know, because we're both Christian, right? So Mitch and I, you know, like, we had this very close friendship. I mean, like, we used to talk a lot. Used to talk a lot. I remember one time we used to talk about life. I think I picked you up in my car, that small Yaris. And we used to talk. Like, we really, really used to talk a lot. So when I just saw the way Move Africa just, you know, became like a household name, I was really, really impressed because it wasn't just like, you know, mid-travel kind of stuff. Like, you could see the user experience. You could see a lot of things. And I'm like, no, you've really, you know, put in like thought. Like, you've thought through this and it's actually, you know, coming out beautifully. And then you could see the Instagram stuff and I could see some friends attending, like, you know, like the travel events and everything. I'm like, wow, like, you really, really, like, you've really, really done well for yourself. And, like, I'm so, so proud of you. Like, I'm really, really proud of you. But let's, you know, delve a little bit into Move Africa. I know people do see Instagram, the glitz, the glam. You always come and put the nice reels and all that there. What have been the major challenges you've had with Move so far?
Okay. Thank you for all the praises. I really appreciate them. I mean, it always feels good to hear people praise what we do and get all excited about it. And it's also one of the few things that keeps me going because if you are doing something and people are not supporting you or speaking good of it, then you will feel like you're not doing something good at all and you might probably give up. So thanks to you guys for supporting the movement. Yeah, that's how we like to call it. And yeah, so Move Africa has been great so far. I think I've had a good support system. My friends who helped me set up, like my friends who helped me with like branding, social media, like just recommending us and all of that, coming with their friends and all of that. So it's been amazing so far. The journey has been great. And when I think about challenges, I'll probably say just a few of them. Right. So first of all, we started right from the get-go. We started with a vision of going beyond Ghana. And so that has always been an idea. That's why it's called Move Africa and not Move Ghana. We see ourselves as becoming one of the best or well-known travel companies on the continent. Mm. So our trips are also designed for people to explore the continent. Our trips are designed for people to explore Africa, go beyond Ghana because travel is bigger than just Ghana. So it's been amazing so far. But some of the challenges I will say is for Ghana, it's just our poor road system. Like, our road networks aren't the best. So doing road trips to certain parts of the country aren't always the easiest of things. And another thing that I will also say is a problem is some of the tourist sites. But I mean, yeah, these are things that are beyond me, are beyond my business. Some of the tourist sites are not so developed. But I think these days, thanks to the Year of Return and the current leadership at the Ministry of Tourism, I think they are doing good. Because I go to some of the tourist sites now and I see the improvements, there are washrooms, the road over there are getting better and all of that. So things are getting better, but they could be way better. Like, there's still so much that we can do in our tourism space in Ghana. And one of the major challenges that has always been on my mind since I experienced the worst exchange rate, especially last year, because we started with our international trips last year. And you would agree with me that 2022 is the year that Ghanaians experienced the worst of forex issues.
Right.
Like the cedi was performing so bad against the dollar. So planning an international trip, charging in USD, charging in USD was the only option, right? Because if I charge you CD today and tomorrow I want to buy the ticket for the trip, the price, I would have to look for more CDs to pay for that same $1,000, right? Mm. And my partner in the different African country that I want to visit, they are not going to take CD from me. They're taking a foreign, like USD.
Right.
So our only solution was to charge people in USD. I remember the first trip we did was to Zanzibar, and we had a CD package and a USD package because we were like, come on, our people have access to CD, so why charge them USD? But I was learning on the job, and that was one thing I really appreciate about my work. I learned on the job. And so I realized that the first few people that gave me CD deposits, anytime I was ready to make a transaction, I needed to go for more CDs. And I can't go to them and say, hey, top up. It was my own money. So we took that flyer down, and then we're using just a USD one. So now the trip was, it was just in USD. So foreign exchange was a very big issue. And so sometimes as well, like I think I remember we were going to Togo and Ghanaians were like, oh, come on, Togo is just here. Why do you want to charge us USD? Charge us CDs. And we're like, okay, cool, cool. I mean, we like to listen to like feedback from our community a lot because that was the only way that we were able to improve on our experience, on the experiences for them. So when we got this feedback, we're like, okay, cool, we're going to charge CDs for this trip. So when I charged, the trip was in CDs. When it was time for the trip, the CFA had gone up. Like, I nearly gave up on the trip. I was like, one thing that we don't do over here is giving up. We don't give up.
Okay.
So I still went ahead to do the trip. And a friend of mine advised me that just approach the clients who have booked the trip. Tell them the issue. And everyone will agree. Everyone was feeling the issue. Tell them and they would understand. So I asked them to just top up a bit and then I'll top up the rest because I couldn't throw all the burden on them. So those are some of the challenges that I have faced with this business. And another one is funding, right? You in the tech space, people are able to raise raise funds for their business, get investors, and all of that. But the few people that I've spoken to, they try to run away from service business. They always advise that having a product is the best, right? So my current challenge or current thing I'm trying to focus on how to productify our business so that we can also raise funds and do so much more. Because there's a lot that Move Africa can do. There's so much that we can do and scale this business, enter different markets, set up offices in different countries on the continent. But funding is like our biggest headache. So in 2024, that's one of the things that I'm looking at achieving.
Hello there, tech surfers. I have got some news for you. The Tech Surf Podcast is now on Instagram and LinkedIn. Follow us on Instagram at the Tech Surf Podcast and LinkedIn, the Tech Surf Podcast, to stay up to date on new episodes and to get interactive. Don't forget to like, share, and send us feedback on your favorite episodes and the lessons you've learned. See you soon.
That's quite impressive. I'm just very impressed by how keen you are about the things you are doing. It's like you have a goal, you set your mind on it, and like you just go for it. Because I think about like 181 trips in 2 years. Like,
oh, we could have done more. We could have. I know.
I'm here praising you
because, and also so 181. Someone will be like, oh, the company is just 2 years old and a few months. How are you able to do 181 trips? So what happens is we try our best to travel every weekend, right?
Okay.
So if you go to our Instagram and there are four weekends in October, you realize that we have four trips available in October. So it's like we are the people that you always come to when you think of travel. And once you come to us, there will always be something available. It's like going to McDonald's and assured of a beggar, you know. So we always have something to do. That's how come we've done a lot of trips. And also on weekdays, we have like private trips for people from the diaspora and all of that. That's how come. So certain, maybe in certain months, we're able to do like 8 trips or 10 trips. So back and back and back. And that's how I really want my business to be. Mm-hmm. The goal is for us to even have a trip every blessed day. So if there are 30 days in a month, we should have at least 30 trips. So wow. Now I'm trying to scale and like expand the team so that we can do so much more than 181 trips in 2 years.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your dad. You know, what does he think about your decision now? Because first off, he didn't want you to go to university.
Yeah.
Then you went to university to go and read IT. Yeah. In the IT, you didn't use it for anything. Mm-hmm. You became a photographer. I mean, he will appeal to the creative part of you, I'm assuming. But mm-hmm. tell me what, I'm sure, okay, first off, let's talk about their decision. Like, how accepting were they of your decision to become a travel design a designer or like travel experience designer?
And
how are they feeling about it now that you have a few bucks?
So the title I like to give myself is travel experience designer, so that I could still feel like maybe like I'm a UX designer, because UI UX is something that I really wanted to do, because I see myself as a creative. So
okay.
I mean, what I do is actually designing travel experiences, because mm-hmm. that's what I do. Although I'm the founder and CEO, the particular role that I enjoy is putting together the trips, the itineraries mm-hmm. for people. Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. one thing that I think about every blessed day, and I always smile when I'm planning a trip on paper, on my MacBook. And my family has been very supportive, and mm-hmm. that's one thing that I don't take for granted. And my last name, Abladepe, means house of freedom. Mm. So there's so much freedom in my family. There's so much flexibility. I'm one of the people who is probably lucky that I don't have parents who are forcing you to become a doctor, mm. a lawyer, and all of that. My dad wanted me to become an accountant. But when I said no, I mean, he hasn't forced me to still pursue that. So I'm very blessed to have like... such a father and my parents who are very supportive of my dreams. And it's been good. I mean, they're proud of me. Whenever I have a trip and my mom hears about it, like she's always reaching out, oh, where are you going to when I come back? How was the trip? Especially when it's a foreign trip, like she's always excited to see me go beyond Ghana. And she's always praying for me that the business becomes bigger and better. Yeah, my family is proud of me and they're very supportive. Yeah. As for that one, yeah, there's no negativity from that side. Yeah.
And your brother right here is also proud of you. I'm super, super proud.
Thank you, Ray. And I met your dad. Like, I met your dad recently, and he was also excited. And like, yeah, he was so excited to meet me. And I was actually blessed because I went to his office needing help with something. I was trying to register a drone. And when I met him, I was like, it was just God. You know, God is amazing. I was telling you, like, I took a wrong turn on the road. And I wasn't right. mad at myself. Had
right.
I, if I was on the right path at that time, I would have missed him. But right. just for the fact that I took that wrong turn and I delayed, I got there, I met him, and he was so happy. He took over the entire thing and he helped me. And I wasn't even, I was flying that day. The day I met him, I was flying that afternoon.
Right.
And he asked me to go home. And if I have anything I have to do, let me go do that. And he handled like the rest of the business for me. So I went and I came back to the airport and I couldn't even go back to his office because I was late. My flight, I was late. Like check-in was almost over. Your dad drove all over to Terminal 3, brought me my papers. Like, oh, like, I was like, oh, wow. I know Raymond from school. Like, you're amazing. But your dad, and you used to tell me a lot about your dad, but you didn't tell me about his amazing. Like, I felt like, you know, Ghanaians, we always try to be like modest, humble and all that.
Right.
I don't expect you to come and say, oh, fish, Charlie, my dad is good. Oh, is that?
Right,
but
right.
I experienced it for myself and I was just right. so happy. Like, we took pictures and all of that. It was so amazing. I was like, oh, okay, I know my friend and I've met his dad and his dad has helped me. Like, that's just how we want life to be. Like,
exactly.
knowing people and then supporting you.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, all of us, you know, supporting one another, regardless of whatever we are doing. And it's very, very important. Like, for me, when I saw those pictures, I was like, wow, it's like a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Fish lost my Bible, but then he has come back into my life.
This Bible. It really pains me.
It
hurts because the Bible you got for me, to be honest, before you got me that Bible, I hadn't seen one before.
Okay.
The size, like, that was the biggest Bible that I've seen.
Right.
The Bible was so big, and it was more like a teaching Bible.
Right.
That's how come it was big. So if you don't understand something, you could read further and get understanding out of it. It was a great gift, Raymond, to be honest. If I haven't told you before, I'm telling you now, it was a great gift. When I lost it, I didn't know how to tell you. And when you asked me recently, there was no way I could lie about it. Because
I'll get you another one. This one is on me. I'm going to get you another one very soon.
Raymond, God will bless you. God bless you. Like, amen. I could get a Bible, you know, I could get it. Like, I could actually buy one. But it felt so good getting it as a gift. I feel like hardly do people give Bibles to people.
Right.
So for someone to gift you a Bible shows how much support they are giving you, in terms of spirituality and helping you be on the right track. And at the time when I was in school, around the time he gave me the Bible, it was like a good gift around that time because it was supposed to do something for me in my life at the time. Right. And the few times that I read it, like, it did that. But it's rather unfortunate that I did what I did and I lost it. So if you're thinking about getting me a new one, you know.
Why not? Now
I'm older and I know my responsibilities and I'm more responsible in life. So I'll take good care of it. Trust me. I'll make you proud.
Definitely. We're about to end soon. And in fact, actually sad that we are about to end soon because I'm trying to, keep, the podcast as short as possible so that it's not like people can enjoy the listen. But The goal of this episode is, for pivoting careers, people who are either in tech and thinking about going out of tech. Because I know whenever you listen to the media, tech is, the big thing. Everyone wants to go to tech. Whenever I'm around people, you work in tech. Oh, wow. That means you're rich. I was like, okay. Everyone has, some assumptions about tech. So they want to get in. And a few people who are in tech are trying to get out because they are looking for other things to do. I want you, in the shortest possible time, give the best advice you will give to someone who is at a crossroad like you were at. How do they go about it? Should they just follow your passion as people mostly say, or you would give some specific advice? So I'll just let you, expound on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll always say yes to following your passion. But then again, I feel like in life, I was even about to tweet this morning. I tend to spend a lot of time on Twitter and I tend to tweet things that I think about a lot. Although these days, I'm trying to control that. I was thinking about how we all define success like differently, right? So whatever success means to you, if you really want to achieve that, just go for it, right? But I'm always a big preacher of following your passion because trust me, like, passion is one thing, it's fuel, like, and it's what keeps people in the space that they find themselves. It's what keeps people going, like, when money is not coming through, when promotions are not coming through, when your code is not working and all of that. Like, passion is what keeps you going. And so if you are the type who has found what you are passionate about, then you are blessed. And if you can find ways to monetize that, like, you are super, super blessed. Like, you are God's favorite, right? So, so I would say if you have a passion and you know ways you can monetize it, good, like, go for it, especially if money is something that you're looking for, like, you're looking for. Go for it. Always go for your passion. But another thing too is that sometimes you can follow your passion and you go hungry, right? So I think a more sensible way to go about things, especially if you have a business idea or a passion that you know won't bring you money in the short term, you can always have like a 9-to-5, a corporate job, be it in tech or whatever field it is, and you can save towards your passion. And if you think the time is right, why not just take that leap? And God will be with you throughout that journey. And so long as you have friends, family, people who support you on social media, like, don't take those things for granted.
That's amazing, Charlie. The fish I know back from campus has become a whole preacher, man. And
come on,
I'm just enjoying it. It's actually nice.
Look at you interviewing me today. Like, if who like who who would have thought? And that's the beauty of life. Sometimes, like, when I see people trying to know what will happen in their life tomorrow, I'm like, no, I'm so interested in knowing what will happen in my life tomorrow. I like the surprises. I like the uncertainty of life, right? Mm. Like, who would have thought you start a podcast? Like, you'll be in the UK now, be still doing tech. Because if I remember our conversation and our story, tech isn't what you wanted to do.
Yeah,
you wanted to be a pilot.
Bruh, listen. Every now and then I wake up and I start asking myself, like, wow, like, I've actually gone to do a master's for 2 years.
Yeah.
I've written solutions architect. Yeah. I've done all these tech stuff and I'm still here.
Yeah.
Well, there might as well be something in this for me in the long term.
Yeah. And I guess you're proud. You're definitely passionate about it. That's why you've kept it going. And so, I feel like passion plays a big role in the equation. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, we are growing, so we can't still be the same old people.
We have to grow.
Yeah.
We,
life teaches us. Yeah. Life teaches us.
Questions are gradually starting, you know, coming at our door. You know,
the what?
Those questions have gradually started popping up and you're trying to run away.
I mean,
also dealing with your share.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was one of the reasons why I even moved out of my mom's place. Like, Oh, to be honest with you, like, to be honest, it was one of the few reasons why I moved out, because I couldn't deal with those pressures anymore.
Right.
So these days,
Understandably. To end today's episode, I just want us to just, you know, look back at your journey. Not that we have any power, but if there was something that you feel you could have done differently, what would it be?
In terms of what? I feel like that question is very broad.
Yes, I made it broad for, like, deliberately, you know, generally looking at how, you know, life has just helped you from different, you know, sectors or different spheres from time to time. There are definitely some things that maybe you felt if you had done this differently, it would have maybe propelled you. Not that it would have definitely done that, but
I think that one thing that would have done is to take tech seriously.
Okay.
Taking tech seriously, because one thing I've realized is that, you know, tech, I forgot who even said this. I don't know if it was in school or what. Tech cuts through every sphere of life.
Mm.
Like, you could think about any industry right now.
Right.
The foundation, like, tech plays a big role in that industry.
Right.
So if, no matter where you want to go in, like, no matter where you want to go in this life,
right,
if you're coming from a tech background, your journey will be better.
Mm.
Whatever you're going to offer the public will be better than someone who doesn't have a tech background. Because look at this. Even if I wanted to be an accountant, these days, with the help of AI and softwares and all of that, coming from a tech background, if I wanted to even own my own business, I could have an accounting software or a business that tech will play a huge role in, right? Mm. Like the offerings that we are giving people.
Right.
Now look at me. I'm in travel. We have travel tech, like, and if I had taken tech seriously, right, trust me, my business would be in a better place than where it is now. We are in a good place. Like, no bragging or, like, we are in a good place. But if I were to be very tech savvy, we would have been in a much better place, or our journey would have been faster. Because I see people, one thing I realize is that I've seen a couple of people on social media try to build travel platforms. Like these software guys, they have this idea, but the thing is that they don't have the travel experience that I have, or the business experience that I have,
right?
But if I had the tech experience that they have, combine it with my current travel experience and business experience, like, I would
probably also have, like, a new sector in your entire, you know, Move Africa, like Move Tech.
Yes, and we would probably have raised some funds by now. So that's what I say. Like, the few people that I've spoken to in the VC space and all of that have advised me to find a way of making my service or my business or my company a product such that it can work on its own, where we can reduce this human interference and all of that. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to doing in 2024. But if I had taken tech seriously in school, if I had taken a few programming languages and knowing how to build a website on my own and all of that, we would have found ways of doing that better by now. Yeah. So because for now, things have been, we've just been working like manually and depending on other people's platforms. Right. But we are now trying to build our own platform. So that one thing I would have done is to take tech seriously.
Right.
Yeah. And probably have a career in it and then ending up having my own business.
Right.
But I feel like that tech skill or experience is very, 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 very important,
right.
no matter who you are. Even if you want to be a pharmacist or whatever, like if you have some tech background in you, like you will be better off or more valuable than your counterparts who do not have any tech experience.
And that's very valid. And I'm just glad that you've spoken to people in the VC space who have advised you and you are taking, you know, the little steps.
Are you one of them?
Am I one of the people that the VC space?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not officially in VC. Who knows? Maybe sometime.
You could write a check for us. You know, you could be our first investor.
Really?
Yeah, well, that would be an honor, though.
Well, I definitely admire Move Africa.
Yeah.
Before I do that kind of check, I'll first have to get you your Bible, your new Bible first. So let's focus on your spirit and get the Bible first.
It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? So
exactly.
Yeah. So it's good.
But then fish, that coming from, you know, someone who has known you from campus till now, seeing how you have, you know, grown into the man that you are and how you are pushing your business, I'm super proud of you and I'm looking forward to, you know, the next phase of Move Africa and even Move Global. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's like there's so much potential in that space with the kind of products you can create and all that. So I am rooting for you. And I know I've said it several times when I come to Ghana, I want to go on a trip with you guys. But every time I come to Ghana, for some reason or the other, something just pops up. But the next time I'm coming to Ghana, I'm making sure that a Move trip one or two is on my calendar. I need to go on a trip with you guys.
Sure. So, I mean, let me plug myself a bit. So I think I spoke a bit about group trips, but we do more than just group trips.
Okay.
So we do what we call private trips as well. So like you, Raymond, in the UK or wherever you are now, whenever you come to Ghana, right, you could call a few friends, 4, 5 of them, or even 2, any number at all. And we could plan a private trip for you. We could create a private experience. So if there's been this trip you've been seeing on our pages that you always wanted to join, but whenever you come to Ghana, you realize that we are not doing it within that period that you are in Ghana, just let me know and we'll create a private one for you and your friends or you and your family, colleagues or whoever. So we have group trips, we have private trips as well, and we have team bonding experiences. These ones are usually for tech companies or companies in Ghana who want to have like offsite experiences for their staff. So usually the end of the year, they want to take a break, go somewhere for a retreat. We also do that as well. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So please don't be worried that when you come to Ghana, like there's no availability. So long as you have a few days to spare for travel, put together a few friends or family and reach out and we'll do something for you.
Nice. Amazing. Yeah. So you guys, I will definitely put more details about Move in the description for you to check them out. If you haven't checked them out already, you should, because the Instagram alone, you know, the Instagram alone is just you know, calling. It's just
and make sure when you're typing Move Africa, you make the O's 3, because sometimes
it's MOOOVE. I'll definitely put all the information.
Sure, great.
But Fish, thank you so much for coming. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you, Ray. I wish we could talk all day, because it's been a while since we had like a chat like this. So it's been amazing. Yeah. It's been amazing talking to you, and also for you to have me on your podcast, like, makes me so proud to be part of your journey as well. I feel like these are the kind of things that we need to be doing in life, supporting each other. So thank you so much for the opportunity and giving me the chance to share my story with the rest of the world. Yeah. It really means a lot to me.
Amazing. A career as a network engineer was a promising future for Fish, but he chose to network with people and create lifelong memories. Wesley's bold career shift reminds us that life is meant to be an adventure, and sometimes taking a leap of faith and also leveraging tech in the process can lead to extraordinary experiences. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the TechSell Podcast. See you in the next episode.